Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Friday. Sports talk, y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Give us a ring and join the ride on a great, great Sports Friday show. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website at rayandtaytoday.com. Facebook, Twitter, we're interactive. We answer back your tweets and your emails. So, you know, get at Ray and Tay, be controversial, you know, join our Bowl Mania picks on ESPN. You know, Ray will let you know about the show. And we got some college football starting this weekend. And Ray and Tay, we like to make our bowl predictions. So it's going to be fun. Ray, let them know because we got a guest and we got a good, good hoops and football show.
Yes, we're going to be hooping it up. We're going to be talking football, basketball. We got a lot to talk about. So let's start us off with college football. As Tay said, the college bowl season is upon us. It starts tomorrow. There's four bowls tomorrow, four bowl games.
What,
so we'll get into that.
What game do you like? What do you like? Do you like that Fresno State-USC matchup? That's got to be the one.
That's your bowl game? The matchups aren't they get better, right? It crescendos. So I would say the Fresno State USC game is probably the best of the four. So that game's on ABC at 3:30. So for all you guys need to set your clock, check it out. See what USC with there's going to be a new regime at USC, but right now let's see if they can salvage this season, which started out with high hopes for them.
Definitely. I mean, there's only four games. So I guess, you know, for me, the question is, you know what I'm fascinated about? I got to give ESPN a lot of props. They basically, between ESPN and ABC, have every bowl game except for two or three. So when you want to go for your bowl coverage this college football season, I mean, it's amazing. And I found fascinating is New Year's Day, there's six games, but the only real great, great game is Stanford and Michigan State. You know, that's the only great one. Let me ask you this. In the Saturday four games, do you want to sort of sit down and watch Buffalo against San Diego State? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Unless
like, to
you
me,
went to them, or unless you're from Idaho in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Boise, Idaho, I'm thinking – You could watch a quarter or two of that. Just check it out.
I think
just,
you want to check Fresno State, right? They all season long, they were Fresno State and Northern Illinois with Jordan Lynch were the two teams that had the potential to maybe.
You want to check out the quarterback of Fresno State? You want to check out my man Marquise Lee, the guy I predicted would win the Heisman, Charles Davis, too.
Exactly.
So there's some stuff to look at, right? It's not the best college bowl games, but it's certainly okay. It's certainly enough to keep us busy. But wait, let me tell the audience what we've got on track. So we're going to quickly talk about college football. We'll get into some college basketball. We've got a great guest, Ian Begley, ESPN New York, covers a lot of Knicks for ESPN. So we'll talk to him about the NBA and the Knicks. We'll also get into around the NBA. So there was a great game this past Wednesday with the Pacers and the Heat in the East.
Pacers, Heat.
And there's always great games every night in the West. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Spurs. We'll talk about the Blazers. We'll talk about the Thunder. And then we'll finish up with the NFL. So it's playoff time in real NFL action. Last 2 weeks, there's going to be some playoff jockeying this week, especially at the 5-6 position in the AFC and the NFC. And playoff time in fantasy football playoffs. If you're lucky enough to be playing this week, that means you're in the championship. So for all you prospective champions, listen up. We're going to have some advice for you. I'm actually going to ask Tay. I'm in our championship of our league, and I'm going to ask him some
first
questions.
First annual Ray and Tay Today.
I got three critical decisions at tight end, at quarterback, at running back, and possibly a defense that I made some waiver wire moves, and now I need to make some decisions. So I'm going to ask Tay what I should do.
We'll chop it up. And, hey, you know what? I didn't have a great year in my money leagues, but I am in two championships myself in two free leagues, a father-son league that we do out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I am in the championship, and then in the ESPN league, I'm in the championship. So, you know, at least out of my six leagues, I'm in two championships. So not bad for Tay. Just not bringing home any dough. So let's get to the hoops, man. Last night in Madison Square Garden, we saw talent, true talent. Duke against UCLA. Duke wins. Ray was there, so I want to get, you know, an up close and personal question to you about that game. They win, what, 80-63. Duke is sort of looking like they're getting it together. I mean, what's amazing, I'd say, about
– It was tied at the half, so they won by 17, but the game was a little better than the score was.
But what I like, and this is what I want to ask you, right, about the star, Jabari Parker, but what I like about this Duke team and the potential to maybe get to the Final Four, you've got Hood and Parker, and they scored probably, what, 37-38 combined last night, but they averaged 41 a game. Jabari Parker's had over 20 in every game except for two. In those two games, he had 19 and 15. So to me, Jabari Parker is, and we're talking off air, you know, he's McKee, he's Pippen. He's sort of this 6'8", 6'9", versatile forward that can do a little bit of everything. And then Kyle Anderson, who has, you know, went through, you know, the program here in New York and played a fun sport, junior pros with our boy Ricky Rivers. And, you know, he talked about Kyle on our show last year. You know, Dickie V slips up and is like, oh, Magic Johnson. Well, he's not Magic, but Kyle Anderson is definitely in his sophomore year really improving. Give our audience some of your thoughts about Parker, Anderson, and just sort of where you think Duke could be heading this college basketball season.
So, you know, I like to look at the players for what they can do in college, but also it's fun to project what they can do in the pros. And
definitely,
this kid, Jabari Parker, is the real deal. I mean, he was 4-for-8 from three. He hit all of his free throws. He basically had a double-double. Not basically. Had a double-double, 23 and 10, and five assists to
five
boot.
Assists.
So the guy is bigger than I thought. That's the first thing I saw, is that he's a big kid. He's a thick, big kid. I mean, you look at Scottie Pippen, and his build was slim. I mean, Scottie's great, right? But Scottie's build was slim. This guy is Scottie Pippen, but put 20 pounds on him, and he's a freshman in college. So he's not an over-the-top athlete like Wiggins from Kansas is, but he's certainly athletic enough to be, you know, quite an NBA player from an athleticism standpoint. And if he can rebound like this, and if he can score like this and shoot like this, and he shot in traffic. He wasn't shooting wide-open threes. I mean, the guy was shooting contested threes. So he's going to make an NBA franchise very happy. Now, I'd love to see him stay another year under Krzyzewski, but that'll never happen because he'll be a top three pick. So this guy's the real deal. Rodney Hood also might be quite an NBA prospect.
Yeah,
he's
I like
a lefty,
that.
So you know I like me some lefties, a wing lefty. There's nothing better than a wing lefty.
The truth always comes out, folks.
We'll see what he can do. On the UCLA side, I like this freshman. Keep your eyes out for the freshman at UCLA. He's a real, true athlete. He needs to learn a little bit better decision making and shot selection. But this kid Zach LaVine is pretty nice. Keep an eye out for him. He's not ready, so hopefully he'll stay another couple years. And as far as Kyle Anderson goes, the guy almost had a triple double. I mean, he might be the most skilled player in college basketball this year. And he had, what, 15, 10, and 7. So he's the real deal. The problem is he will be, and he might go down as an excellent college player, you know, a la Christian Laettner, even our boy Psycho T, Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, you know, he doesn't dominate the scoring column like those guys do.
But his skill set is definitely an NBA-type skill set.
Phenomenal. The problem is he's 6'9", but you don't feel that he's 6'9", right? He should be more dominant.
Where do you put him? At the 2 or at the 3?
He can't shoot. So I don't think he actually is a NBA prospect. I think the guy maybe at
He'll make it. He'll play in the NBA. Don't sleep on that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it might be better for him is it better for him to be a role player in the NBA or maybe go to Europe or somewhere else? And I mean, you know, to me he's like a Boris Diaw type. You know, maybe he puts on some weight and he plays a small forward.
Right.
The problem is
he's
got great ball handling skills, but I don't think he's athletic enough to really run the point in the pros, right? He's not Magic Johnson. So I think those shorter, quicker guards give him a hard time. He can't shoot, so he's not going to be a two-guard, so he's got to play small forward. He's got to be like a Derek McKee, Boris Diaw, you know, sort of a point forward. But again, small forward might be the most athletic position in pro basketball, so he'll have trouble defending people at the wing. So I don't know what Kyle Anderson's prospects are as a pro, but he's a fun kid to watch. He's a pleasure to watch in college.
Well, let's look at projecting out. I mean, in terms of this weekend, you got some great games. Oklahoma State, number 7 against number 20 Colorado. We've got Louisville against Florida International. That should be fun. And then we spoke about this off air. Texas took care of our Tar Heels the other day, and you saw, you know, our coach, Roy Williams, going crazy. He wanted them to practice at 12 o'clock, but then he found out the earliest he could do was 5 a.m., so he's like, their butts better be there. And now the Tar Heels beat Michigan State. So it'll be interesting to see if now Michigan State going to Texas, you know, what will happen in that outcome. You got Notre Dame, Ohio State. What, I guess, to you, what is the game that you want to watch in college basketball this weekend? What stands out? Plus, I like Georgetown at Kansas. That's the one I think I want to see.
So I want to see Texas, Michigan State. I want to see if Texas is for real. They beat Carolina. And by the way, today Carolina said they're not going to be pursuing the reinstatement of P.J. Harrison. So he's
big,
gone for the year.
News.
He's a junior.
Yeah.
He's probably gone. His UNC career
is over. One of our best players. Yeah.
They got Leslie McDonald back, Carolina did, for the Texas game. He hit 4 threes, which, by the way, puts him second on the team behind Marcus Paige. That's how desperately Carolina needs to find somebody who can shoot. So hopefully with Leslie McDonald back, the Tar Heels look a lot better. But I want to see if this Texas team is for real. You know, they went into Carolina, had a great first half, did enough in the second half to win, and this Michigan State team, after having lost to Carolina, is now thinking, all right, we need to, you know, scrap back and try and get our number one rating, you know, number one ranking back. So I like this Michigan State team a lot in the long run. I think their depth is unbelievable. The Texas team is TBD, so I love that matchup. It's a CBS matchup, and it's at 4 o'clock on Saturday, so
our boy Steph Davis,
he'll
be, you know, him and Doug Gottlieb in the studio, probably with Tim Brando again. So that'll be great. And, you know, I think what will also be fun to see Patino's son, to see, you know, Minnesota. They've got a good matchup this weekend. You've got Missouri against Illinois. So there's some good college basketball. We'll see what this Massachusetts team has got to offer. They're battling
Is UMass
Florida
for
State.
Real? I don't know. I haven't
We're
seen them. I have
out.
To be honest with the audience. I haven't seen
yeah,
UMass
I want,
this
no,
year.
No,
but
that's what I want to check out. And then Gonzaga against Kansas State. Belmont. How about Belmont, right? They're playing Kentucky. Everybody knows Belmont from the tournament, you know,
They're
with some of the upset
specials. They're my
sleeper
in the tournament every year.
Oh, man, college hoops with Ray and Tay. So we touched on the college football, the college basketball. Ian Begley will probably be joining us shortly. You know, this is what's fascinating to me this time of season, right? NFL's ending. NBA's heating up. College basketball, you got the bowl games. You know, hockey, I was joking with you off air. We got to give hockey some love, and maybe we'll on Monday. The Blackhawks are tearing it up. We got the Islanders, Rangers, both around 500 struggling. They're battling. To me, this is a fun time. You just don't have the baseball unless it's the hot stove. You know, we haven't had too much exploding. The Yankees missed out on a pitcher that they were looking for. Any other signings or anything that you've seen that, you know, we got to discuss with our fans in terms of MLB?
No, I think the hot stove is heating up slowly. I mean, there was a lot of action a couple days ago, but I think it's kind of slowed down. So.
Picked back up after the new year, probably.
Yeah. So Kevin I'm just reading this. Kevin Youglis will play one more year in Japan. Really?
See, there you go. Well, let me ask you this, though. Talking about Arizona and number one, and they won against the other night or last night. I love, Ashley, Gordon, their size. To me, Sean Miller has got a program where, if Arizona can survive, Pac-12 play, and they've played and scheduled some great out of conference games, they could be sitting pretty to really make a championship run this year. And Sean Miller can get the ghost of Lute Olsen off his back, maybe.
Well, you know what? I always said, how Texas thinks they're a top program in football, and maybe they are, but they still have to prove it on the field. I've always said that Arizona should be a top program in basketball. I mean, they were for many, many years with Lute Olsen. But that campus, that facility, the Pac-12, the sun, the fun, I mean, they should mm-hmm. be, and Sean Miller looks like he's got that program humming, and they play unselfishly, and this kid Gordon, who's a star, is actually not putting up star numbers. He's not putting up Jabari Parker numbers, but he's still very effective, and they have a pretty deep roster. So I like what our boy Sean Miller's doing. And from Pitt days, he's my boy from the Big East. He brings that Big East toughness with him.
The point
out
guard,
of the Pac-12.
Baby.
I don't know how much they'll be challenged, though, in the Pac-12. That's my only concern, is the level of competition this year in the Pac-12.
Right.
We'll see how.
Which is why it's important what he's scheduled outside of it. How do you like UCLA with Steve Alford, though?
So I think the same thing for Steve Alford, right? UCLA, and we had Seth Davis talk about this, where UCLA thinks they're a top program, like they're back in the John Wooden days, and really they won that one national championship with Tyus Edney going coast to coast in the second round against Missouri. But other than
that,
they really have not been an elite program for many years, and the UCLA folks still think they're in the Wooden days, but now I do think with Steve Alford, they have a chance to really solidify that program. He is a good recruiter. He's a good coach. He's a guy who's had success. He's played, big-time college boys, won a national championship, right? Remember that 87? He broke our hearts with Syracuse. But that team and that UCLA team, it's still Ben Howland's recruits. So he's bringing in – he started to bring in his guys, Zach LaVine this year and a couple other guys, and we'll see how he turns it around. But I think that UCLA is here to stay. I mean, I like that program. I like Steve Alford and what he's doing out there.
Definitely. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll be back talking NBA, and probably we'll be joined with Ian Bagley from ESPNNewYork.com. Ray and Tay today, NBA Talk.
Hello, and we are back. We're back to talk NBA. That's
we got to backtrack before Ian joins us. We got to talk about Wednesday night, man. The Pacers Heat round two, part two. They don't play again until March 26th, and they do play each other four times this year. What'd you think about – I mean, to me, Dwayne Wade said it all and did it all. With LeBron's ankle in question, and he had a great game, Dwayne Wade – and he can do this, right, for, one or two nights, maybe not back-to-back. He can still be the best player on the court, 32 points, and just was explosive on the break, defense. Dwayne Wade is still, he's the guy. He really is the guy.
He really is. But you know what? This is one of those games where both teams come out of there happy. And I'll tell you why. Miami says, you know what? We're still the champs, You got to knock us out. You guys were talking a lot of smack after the game last week. We came back 8 days later. We were down. We were in the hole going into the fourth quarter, and we still played our game and came back. So Miami's happy, right? Miami's thinking, all right, we're still the champs on the block. We held home. We know we can win on the road. We've played in game sixes, game sevens. We've won it all. Indiana, on the other hand, can say, you know what? Roy Hibbert got in foul trouble. Danny Granger still hasn't played in this series.
Comes back tonight, yeah.
Coming
yeah.
back tonight. He'll be ready by March. And you know what? We had them by the throat. And we didn't execute in the fourth quarter, down 7 with 3 minutes to go. But you know what? For what's a basketball game? 48 minutes. So for 42 of those 48 minutes, we were the better team. So we got to work on closing, and Frank Vogel will have them working on that. And, you know, their offensive execution was a little bit weak. The problem is I don't think they have a go-to play. I mean, they have a go-to player in Paul
George.
They need
that second scorer.
They do.
Because George, to me, if you get the ball out of his hands to double-team him, then you kick it out to George Hill. You don't want George Hill shooting a three. So you need Granger. You need that second scorer in the clutch moments. And I think that can put this team – because, look, our boy Scola played great off the bench. You know, you got Copeland, Watson. I think the Pacers are built to really challenge the Heat. But the only way that they could probably win in the seven-game series is if they have that home court advantage, if we're being real.
Yeah, I would agree. But you know what? The more I see this Pacer team, the more they're not scared. They can win. Now, I'm not saying they will, but they certainly can. You know, there's some teams where you're like, okay, the Bulls are not going to beat the Heat. But the Pacers can beat the Heat. It comes down to execution. And it'll be a 6, if not a 7-game series like the last 2 years have been. This Pacer team, I don't want to say it's 50-50, but it's very close. This Pacers team could beat the Heat. And if they keep winning games, and if they win home court throughout the Eastern Conference, you know, this is a tough matchup. And what it comes down to also from the Heat is they need another big man. They need Greg Oden for this series, or Michael Beasley, or, you know, because Joel Anthony and Udonis has, I mean, these guys are just not enough. They need one more big against these guys.
The deal with West and Hibbert, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that Hibbert doesn't get in foul trouble next game. But Hibbert, Mahimi, Scola, and David West. And then Paul George is the lanky 6'8". And Danny Granger is 6'9". I mean, their front court is big. So they can give, and that's the one weakness that Miami has. So I really, really like this Indiana Pacer team. It's exciting that somebody can challenge. This early, we can say that it looks like somebody can challenge Miami.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then, you know, even looking at last night, my MVP pick, Durant, you know, 32-9-6 went off. And now quiet is kept. You know, the Blazers have been playing great, but OKC jumps up ahead of them in the NBA standings and, you know, has the best record in basketball, the number one seed. Minnesota really, you know, took it to the Blazers, but after having, you know, back-to-back, like, you know, buzzer-beating shots and tough wins, you figured on the road at Minnesota, they might stumble, and they did. But to me, what I'm liking with the Thunder is Westbrook is developing and coming back. You're seeing Reggie Jackson and Lamb off the bench really step up and score. And I think Steven Adams, the development of him, I think this Thunder team is sort of coming into a nice place where they could really do it this year coming out of the West.
No reason they can't. And the only thing that stopped them last year was that Russell Westbrook blew out his knee. Did you hear about this beef in the locker room?
Yeah, no, I think it's legit. Kendrick, look, Noah Noah should know better, the younger generation.
Well,
it's
Noah
like,
should
yo,
know
you
better,
know.
And then Thabo should know better to invite him in there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, your boys will meet up in the, you know, in the parking lot. Meet up at the...
Yeah, you know, Kendrick Perkins is like, you're not coming to my locker, homie. We just battled.
But you know what I'm disappointed in? So that's who you're impressed with is Kevin Durant, and he's all world. You know, we need to start thinking about him in terms of where he is. He needs to win a championship, but we need to start thinking about him in terms of
where
you know,
he's
the all
rank,
world category.
Yeah,
at that small forward position. But the team I'm most disappointed in, and the team that I didn't really think was legit, but everybody else was pumping them up, is the Golden State Warriors. Those Warriors, Mark Jackson's Warriors, are now on the outside of the playoffs looking in. They're the number 9 seed right now.
Behind my Phoenix Suns, baby.
Behind Phoenix and Denver and Dallas. So
it's amazing.
Golden State, I don't know what's wrong. I mean, I have some theories. I think, though, that you might have to shake up this team. I think you might have to trade David Lee. You might have to do something.
Big game last night, too.
Shakes up. I mean, he always has a big game statistically, and something's missing with the way that offense flows, with the way the defense, and Mark Jackson, who was not a great defender himself, is preaching defense out there in Oakland. But there's something about that team, and I don't know if it's the
Well, give him some time, right?
But
give him time, Ray. Look, the season started off, Barnes was hurt, and then Iguodala went out for a bit. And so now they're just, and Bogut missed some games, they're just getting to a place where everybody is healthy. Look, we all know that they definitely miss Carl Landry and Jarrett Jack, and you bring in Jermaine O'Neal and Tony Douglas. I don't know if that's the right trade-off. So maybe they need to make a trade for a nice veteran off the bench. Draymond Green does a good job. I think it's a bruiser inside, and I think they actually miss Carl Landry. Jermaine O'Neal is too old to be effective in that role. So we'll see what they have to do. I'm interested to see the Pacers-Rockets tonight on ESPN. That's going to be because you know what the Rockets, they're talking about maybe even trading Ashiq, you know, getting Brandon Bass and Courtney Lee, some of these NBA trade rumors. It's going to be interesting to see how the Rockets, you know, balance their sort of running gun with, you know, Dwight Howard's defense and feeding them. And then Ashiq's got to be happy. He's got to stay like, okay, look, I'm staying here in Houston. I'm going to help this team because if they got rid of Ashiq, you know, Greg Smith is the only other big guy. They don't really have size
to help them. Right, they go from being big
to
being awfully small, especially
exactly.
If Dwight Howard were to get in foul trouble.
So let's talk about your boy, man, our man, Kobe Bean Bryant, fractured the knee, out six weeks, could be 8 weeks. Is this, you know, Barkley was, you know, saying basically it's over, this guy's never going to be. I mean, look, we saw some great flashes from Kobe. We talked, you know, spoke about it, you know, last week, you know, when he had the big game, 21-7-8. Is this sort of what the season's going to be? In and out of the lineup, not really healthy. Should he rest? Should he just try and do it next season? Did he come back too early? What are you thinking with Kobe?
He should just hang it up for the year and start fresh next year. Now, he'll never do that because that's Kobe.
Right.
And he'll never let anybody anybody see any weakness. If he's medically clear, he's the exact opposite of Derrick Rose, right? If he's medically cleared, he will be on the court the next day. So from Kobe's perspective, he's never going to let them do that. But if I'm thinking ahead, and forget about the draft pick. I mean, the lower you are, the higher chance you have to get a Jabari Parker or to get a Marcus Smart or to get, you know, another a Wiggins or the big kid from Kansas. You know, any of these guys would start on the Lakers next year. But putting all that aside, I think Kobe, you know what Kobe is now? Remember when Jordan came, minus the 30 pounds, remember when Jordan came back and he played for the Wizards for 2 years?
So that's going to be
Kobe. So Kobe will still average 20, around 20, and he'll still maybe have a night where he'll go for 30, but he'll also have nights where he goes for 14 and has eight turnovers, like he had the first couple games. He was averaging, you know, just a little under, what, five, six turnovers a game. So I think we saw Kobe's peak last year, averaged 27 a game last year. People sleep before he got hurt. I mean, he was a second away from winning the scoring title from Durant.
Yeah.
But
and from Anthony, yeah.
It's over. I think it's over for his super mega elite days. And I think what he'll do is what Jordan did the last 2 years of his career, is he'll be more of a facilitator. He'll score 20. But it won't be a dominant 20 like he used to do, even in the beginning of his career when he had Shaq by his side. So I still think he's got a lot to contribute. I don't know that he's worth $25 million a year, but he's certainly still a borderline, you know, all-star top guard in the West when he comes back. But don't expect the Kobe of 2 years ago. That those days, unfortunately, I think are over. He will be entering his 19th season, and two semi-severe injuries on the same lower leg. I'm not sure Kobe will ever see Kobe like we used to.
Yeah, no, still waiting for Ian. I don't know. He might be a little bit busy sometimes. He gets caught up and, you know, he's got to call in the ESPN. We'll see. Sending out a message to him now. But let's talk about the Knicks. Big win. I mean, the reality is they're just two games out of the playoffs and three back in the Atlantic Division when you're looking at the NBA. And I think we're probably joined by Ian right now.
We'll call him right now. Hello, this is Ian? Hello? You're on the air with Ray and Tay? All right, we might be having some technical difficulties. Caller, are you there? All right, we might be having some technical difficulties, but we'll try again. So,
hey,
I think we're having some technical difficulties, so
All right.
We'll keep going with the NBA talk.
Well, the Knicks and the Bucks. I mean, that win, you're watching the game, you're going crazy as a Knicks fan, and in my mind I'm thinking, can we lose to the Bucks? You know, can we find another way, you know, to lose? And you know what? I was so happy. And Chandler coming back, just, you know, it makes you feel good. And only being, you know, barely out of the playoffs, you get excited because you see the potential in the Eastern Conference. I think, you know, the Knicks fan itself, you know, you got to be hopeful because you can't just think that the Knicks are going to continue to play poorly. You got to believe that they're going to, you know, sort of step it up and do, you know, what they need to do. And you
Knicks
know,
are a better
I
team.
Think,
not only are they a better team talent-wise, but they're a better team. They have energy and spirit and all of that. And one guy, Tyson Chandler, is really, really the glue that keeps the Knicks together or the spark for this team. He's really unbelievable. I mean, this guy is amazing. You know, he really, really brings this team together. He gives them all the energy that they need. He gives them the bench. You know, he fires up the bench even when he's starting
oh, yeah.
and playing.
Melo was excited, too. Let's see. Ian, are you there, Ian? So. Well, look, I mean, that's it. And I think it changes the game. It makes Bagnarni in that big lineup better, having Bagnarni at the four, you know, Melo at the three, Chandler at the five, which I love. You know, I love the big lineup. I don't like the small lineup. And to me, I'm just in a place where, you know, it's good for New York basketball to see Brooklyn and the Knicks, both of them to sort of get back to sort of, you know, getting the winning going. And you could see where Saturday night at the Garden, things should be hyped up. And, you know, Memphis without Gasol, they're ready for prime picking, and our boy Beno Udrich is hot, man. He's on fire. He's the guy, you know.
You know,
I think
what happens with the Knicks is that the good thing is that the Eastern Conference is still pretty packed, except for the 1 and 2 seeds, which are probably going to go to Miami and Indiana, short of any major catastrophic injuries. Everything else is wide open. You know, you can't say that in December that even if you're out of the playoffs that you don't think you have a realistic chance to catch Atlanta, who's currently 14-12. So even if you're the worst team in the league in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee at 5-20, you say to yourself, we can catch Atlanta. We can catch Atlanta. Now, they may not, but they can still say to themselves, you know what, we're 8.5 games back. So the worst team in the conference is only 8.5 games back of Atlanta. So the Knicks certainly can say at 5.5 back that we can be the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. I think Ian's going to be trying back. We had some.
Here, let's try. Hello, Ian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? You're on the air with Ray and Tay. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great.
We're
doing great.
We're doing
happy
good,
to have
Ian.
You.
Yep. So listen, let's jump right into it, man. Big win, and I got to ask you, Chandler's return, is it enough, and is it sort of exactly the right injection that we need to sort of get the Garden and everybody and the team defense and can help the offense? Is it enough to sort of get us back to where we need to be atop of the Atlantic Division?
Well, if you're talking about getting atop the Atlantic Division, I think it is. But if your goal is to make some noise in the playoffs, I think the Knicks still need to get healthy in the backcourt and even possibly improve their guard play via a trade, because they need an all-around effort. They need improvement with the guards, and they need a healthy Chandler to really make this thing work. So Chandler can help, but he can only do so much. They need a little more if the hope is to be competitive with the top teams of the East.
So let me ask you something again. On that note, do you think that the Knicks will be active in the trade market? Do you think they're going to be doing making a trade before the trade deadline in February?
I think it depends on what other teams are willing to give up for a player like Iman Shumpert, or if other teams are willing to absorb, you know, Amari Stoudemire's contract in a package. If that's the case, and if they are able to get an impact player in return, I think that they will be active. But so far, they've been shopping Shumpert for several weeks now. They haven't been able to find the right deal, and hasn't worked out yet. So there's no guarantee that anything's going to happen before February 20th, but I'm sure if they find a deal where they can bring back a rotation player, a guy who can make an impact this season, they'll seriously think about pulling the trigger.
So, Ian, you've got Shumpert and Smith both shooting 33 and 34 and 36% from three-point range, and I think we've got to be pleasantly surprised and just be thankful for Tim Hardaway Jr. And shooting 47% from three, 42% from the field, is it time that Woody gives Hardaway Jr. more minutes, not just to build his confidence, but also because he's probably more productive than what Smith and Shumpert are doing right now? I mean, offensively, they've both been pretty disappointing. How do you feel about getting Hardaway back, you know, more minutes in the lineup?
Well, I think it makes sense, but I don't know if Mike is going to go there yet, because, you know, he's committed to J.R. Smith succeeding. You know, he's made that clear time and again. J.R. Smith, you know, very close with Mike. So I don't think Hardaway Jr.'s minutes would come at the expense of J.R. They're more apt to come at the expense of Iman Shumpert. But, you know, what you're giving up there by putting Shumpert on the bench is you're giving up one of your top perimeter defenders. I mean, you saw it on Wednesday in the second half. You know, Iman played great on-ball defense against Brandon Knight, and you know, Timmy Hardaway is not known as a strong defender. J.R. Smith is hit or miss on defense. So if you're going to give more minutes to Hardaway, you have to think about who that time comes at the expense of. If I'm Mike, I would probably do it at the expense of J.R. Smith, but I don't see that necessarily happening because of the relationship between coach and player.
Interesting. All right, Ian. Well, listen, talk to us about the new guys that now have to step up, especially Beno Udrih, given all the injuries that we've had in the backcourt. So Udrih, Bargnani, and Meta World Peace, so the three veterans that came over this year. Tell us about how the Knicks are integrating them, and if you think that their roles are going to change in the next few weeks as hopefully some of the injured players start getting more minutes.
Well, I think with Meta, he's a bit limited these days because of a knee issue. So I don't know how much his minutes are going to increase or his role is going to change. But with Beno, obviously, with Pablo out, with Ray Felton out, the Knicks are going to rely on him heavily to play much, much more minutes than he was previously. And, you know, he's a solid offensive player. We saw him knock down 5 or 7 threes against Milwaukee. But what you're not getting from him is a good defensive effort because, you know, 10 years in the league, and he's just shown that his feet aren't as quick as they should be or as quick as they need to be to stay in front of some of the elite point guards. So I think that you'll see more minutes from Beno. You probably won't see that many more minutes from Meta until he gets his knee right, and that's kind of where things stand with the newer faces around here.
And what about Bargnani, right? We always have this question of the Knicks' identity, right? And then, you know, with Bargnani, they're a completely different team in terms of how they look with the size and also how the offense runs. So what's Woody thinking about Bargnani, and how's that experiment going for him?
Well, you know, Andrea, I think, is giving you what you thought he was going to give you, which is, you know, 12 to 15 points a night. and not much on the defensive end, and not much rebounding. So I think Mike had realistic expectations coming in, and Bargnani has fulfilled those expectations. But the question is it enough for this Knicks team to win games? So Andrea is going to be back in the starting lineup against Memphis tomorrow. That means the Knicks are going to go with that big lineup of Tyson Chandler, Bargnani, and Carmelo Anthony across the front line. They haven't had.
I love that lineup, Ian.
You like that lineup? They haven't had much success so far this year with the lineup. So kind of the jury is out there, but obviously we'll see how they produce against Memphis, a banged-up Memphis team, and if they can get it going.
So one thing we need you to do for us, Ian, put on your doctor's hat. Tell us about Amari Stoudemire and his health. I mean, what do you project we'll be able to get out of Amari this year?
I think the Knicks have to be very cautious. You know, last year he was playing so well, and he was playing about 30 minutes a night and giving you 14 points a game, 6 rebounds. So they were getting great production from Amari. And then he plays 4 games in 5 nights, and he has to undergo surgery, and he's done for 6 weeks. So you have to be very careful with Amari as far as giving him enough time in between games to really recuperate, especially when knee swelling crops up, as it did after Monday's game against Washington. I think the Knicks and Amari were smart to sit him out that the Milwaukee game and get him ready for Saturday's game against Memphis. Now, you have to really, really keep an eye on his minutes, especially back-to-back situations, because it really feels like at any time he could have a knee issue crop up that could require surgery, then you could lose him for several weeks. So I think the Knicks and him are taking the right approach. They're taking a cautious approach, but they can't get too excited just if Amari starts to play well. They can't really ramp up his minutes. They have to be conservative there.
So, Ian, before we let you go, and, you know, like always, Ian Bailey from ESPN New York joining Rante today. We love having you on. I got to get some information for all the Knicks fans who are sort of dying here. We talked about that backcourt, and we've talked about whatever could happen trade-wise. When do you feel sort of secure or safe thinking that we will have our point guard, Raymond Felton, back, and sort of what's the status with Kenyon Martin?
Yeah, well, Ray is targeting a Monday return against Orlando. He's going to ramp up workouts over the weekend. He's going to start sprinting on the court, and as long as everything goes well with his hamstring, he's hoping to be back against the Magic. And as far as Kenyon goes, it's a little less clear, his point of return, because the Knicks, you know, they've said he's going to be out for 2 weeks, but that's the best-case scenario. We haven't got a chance to talk to Kenyon yet. He's not doing anything in practice right now. He hasn't returned to the floor. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. You have to think that Kenyon's probably going to be out for the maximum of 2 weeks and maybe beyond that. But you're going to get Ray back soon.
Great. All right, Ian, thank you, man. We just love it. And thanks for all the inside Nick information. Everybody will continue to follow you on Twitter and your great articles. And
check out Ian on ESPN New York. Yeah, great having you as always, Ian. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care and happy holidays.
Thank you.
Same to you, man. Talk to you in the new year. Thanks, Ian.
Sounds good. Bye.
All right. That's what it is, and that's what Knicks fans need to hear from the man. I mean, Ian Bailey, ESPNNewYork.com. He gives you the great insight in the Knicks talk. And you know what? I'm hyped up. I'm ready for now to see us and to see Ray come back, you know, against Orlando. And then hopefully we can, you know, beat Memphis on Saturday at the Garden. I think it looks positive. But, Ray, we got to transition. We got to cross it over and pick up the pigskin. And let's get right to the NFC playoff picture. I mean, this is sort of the hottest thing. Three teams have already clinched in the AFC. It's really one team in the NFC. So when we start to look at these matchups, right off the bat, we're not going to, you know, put it in any order of time slots. What do you think is going to go down? Saints-Panthers, this is not just for the division, but this is for the 2 seed versus potentially the 5 seed, which can make a huge difference because we know the Saints, that could kill them, you know, traveling on the road. Can they, after the bad loss to the Rams?
You could be the 6 seed. Depending on what the Niners
definitely.
Do, you could
definitely.
Be the 2 or the 6 seed.
And the Cardinals still have got a shot playing against the Seahawks and Niners in the last 2 weeks to make their statement about this. So
Cardinals
let's look at
done.
The Saints Carolina. Let's look at Saints.
Okay.
Don't count them out yet now. Calm down. It's Cam versus Brady, Breeze. What do you think? Because for me, I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Panthers win this game. And I think the Saints go on a bad losing streak at the wrong time. And I think that this is the game where Killer Cam can sort of confuse Rob Ryan's defense just by the bootlegs or just by extending the play and, you know, scrambling or getting it to Olsen or Steve Smith or, you know, when the play is broken up, running for a first down. And that will be enough to beat the Saints 23-20.
So Carolina is a great defensive team, and what they're able to do is get to the quarterback with four people. They don't rush. They don't blitz. They only blitz.
That's
they blitz below average, right? They're blitzed 25% of the time. So you figure Drew Brees is all about, can Drew Brees be patient, and against a seven-man, you know, against a seven-man defense, can he pick them apart like he has other teams? Now, on the road, this is a different Saints team. So we'll see if Brees can – so here's the thing. If Brees can put up points in the first half, it'll force Carolina to blitz, and then I think Brees is at his best when you're blitzing, because those quick-hitting passes down to his receivers, I think that's where he starts finding his guys, Jimmy Graham, even the Pierre Thomases and the backs out of the backfield, and, of course, our boy –
And I think the Saints got to run the ball.
Marcus Colson.
That's what I think.
They do, but I think only to set up Brees, right? They don't run for the sake of run. They just run for the sake of getting the pressure off of Brees. I actually think that New Orleans is going to have a special year, and it starts with Brees being able to handle the four-man rush of the Panthers, and I like the Saints. I like the Saints in this game. I think they win 30-23 and lock up that
All
number
right.
two seed.
Let's go to D.C. This is big. You guys control your destiny. And the Bears will be playing Sunday night against the Eagles. We'll talk about them last. Can your Cowboys give DeMarco Murray the ball and just do what they need to do to go win a tough game against a team that still wants to be play spoiler and Kirk Cousins? You know, I got to say, for me, I actually think the Redskins have a shot to, you know, just disturb the whole flow. But to me, it will be poetic justice for you guys to win, and I think you will. And this is why, because last year you lost to the Redskins the last game of the season. The year before that, it was the Giants. This year, you're going to lose to the Eagles. So you'll lose 3 years in a row to a different person in your division every year.
You're
that
a movie
is,
producer. Deep that, down in your
that,
heart, you're a movie
that
producer.
That is amazing.
You like the
and
script.
So, listen, I'm writing a script. You know how I do it, you know. And I got the Cowboys, Dez Bryant, a banged-up defense, winning a shootout. I think the Cowboys win 30-27, and Kirk Cousins, another good game that just builds up his draft stock. And how about them Cowboys? They win to go 8-7. DeMarco Murray, touchdown, 140 yards.
So I agree with the outcome. I think the Cowboys have learned their lesson the last 2 weeks that DeMarco Murray against Chicago and DeMarco Murray last week against a pretty, you know, banged up team, that they go out and
Packers
get
team, yeah.
against a Packers team, right? Exactly. Without Aaron Rodgers, they go out and they run the ball and they have success running the ball, but they don't stick with the run. I think they're going to stick with the run. I think Tony Romo's going to prove that he is a legit. When he's on, he's a legit quarterback who can put up a lot of points. I think the defense will rally and hold, quote unquote, hold the Redskins to 30. I think this is a 35-30 win for the Cowboys. And not only that, but I think that this game, you mentioned it before, I think this game determines the outcome of a couple other games, because this game is an early game. And so I believe that because this game is early, and if you believe what I think, that the Cowboys are going to win, the Eagles are going to see that the Cowboys won, and then the Eagles game becomes irrelevant. Because whether they win or they lose, they still have to play Dallas for the division title the next week.
Right,
so
but they don't want to go on
game,
a losing streak towards the end of the season. So
I,
the Eagles are going to play their guys.
I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to, but I think that their intensity will be less. And they lost last week to a Viking team that was pretty banged up.
So you're
but
saying the Bears
Eagles,
will want it more The Bears will want it more.
Yes.
Especially when the Steelers beat the
Cowboys
Packers.
Because the Cowboys win, right, because the Cowboys win and the Eagles have less of an incentive to play ball, I think this is what the Bears capitalize on, and the Bears win to go on and win the division. So I think the Cowboys and the Bears' fortunes are linked at the hip.
Well, let's talk about this real quick. I do think, you know, they've got a legit shot. Carson Palmer going to Seattle, the Arizona Cardinals. Unfortunately, I just think Seattle's too much. They're going to wind up winning out at home and go 8-0 at home. And, you know, remember, the Panthers only have that one loss at home, and it was to Seattle week one and Russell Wilson in a crazy game. So I think Arizona, they show themselves up well and you know, might even win last week at home against the Niners, but they lose at Seattle. I think the Seahawks win like 26-17 Seahawks and, you know, solidify everything they need to solidify and also knock the Cardinals out of the playoffs.
Palmer's a game-time decision with his ankle. I still think that even all year, Larry Fitzgerald hasn't really been healthy, and he's dragging that hamstring along. I think that the locomotive...
He's a warrior playing, though.
Yeah, but the engine that is just is going to stop chugging this week for the Arizona Cardinals. I think they get blown out by Seattle. I think Seattle beats them 31-17.
I think my Steelers take care of the Packers. No Aaron Rodgers. We've got no Wes Welker for the Broncos. It's a shame because Aaron Rodgers really wants to play, you can tell. But you know what? I don't think Flynn will have the same success against the Cowboys, against the Steelers. Steelers, we're actually a top eight defense this year. We're playing pretty good and pretty good against the pass. And I don't know, you know, if Eddie Lacy will eat us up enough. I think this is the battle and a little bulletin board, right, because Tomlin said, hey, I'll take Bell over Lacy anytime. Well, I think Bell outdoes Lacy, and I think they're both great. Hard to pick between them. But I think the Steelers will keep their hopes alive because I do think the Ravens will lose. We'll talk about that in the AFC. But Steelers beat the Packers at home, I would say 26-23 in a very exciting game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that ultimately Matt Flynn is not an NFL starting quarterback, and he's proven that. He's had a couple good games, beat the Cowboys, but then again, Cowboys can't stop anybody. But I give him credit for five straight scoring drives in the second half. I just think Pittsburgh's a better defense than the Cowboys, so even though Green Bay's at home and even though they need this, I think a little bit of the air came out of the Packers when they realized that they probably have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers for the year. So I'd like the Steelers to win a close game as well.
Yeah, and we both think the Lions will beat the Giants. I don't know what the score will be, but I'm sure the Lions will keep their playoff hopes alive and winning. Let's go to the AFC. So before we get to New England and Baltimore, I think what's going to be interesting, probably you would say, right, you got the Dolphins over the Bills, keeping their playoff hopes alive. What do you think? Do you think the Bengals hold on and beat the Vikings at home with AP coming back?
Yeah, I think so. I think that AP coming back helps, but you know he's on a gimpy ankle. So I think the Cincinnati team does enough. They're not going to go into the playoffs, you know, on a 4 or 5 game winning streak like I would have hoped. But I think after the loss last week, I think they come back and win, hold serve at home, and you know solidify themselves as a pretty decent number 3 seed in the AFC.
And then in a playoff preview, because this could be Colts at Chiefs, but I think in the playoffs it'll be Chiefs probably at the Colts in a 4-5 matchup. I think this will be an interesting game, these teams sort of feeling each other out at the end of the season. But I think Jamal Charles will just be a little bit too much. I like Luck and I like Smith and what these teams are both doing. But I think the Chiefs at home and their defense and they get it going, they've got a good enough secondary that without Reggie Wayne, Andrew Luck will not be able to do too much. So I like the Chiefs 27-20 over the Colts.
I like the Colts in this game. I think every time you've written the Colts off, remember the beginning of the season, they beat Carolina. They beat Seattle. They beat
the Niners,
San Francisco. They beat New Orleans. This team is a good team, and obviously losing Reggie Wayne, they haven't been the same. But you know what? The same elements of toughness, balance on offense and defense. I think that if you stop Jamal Charles, and it's not an easy thing to do,
Right.
But if you stop Jamal Charles or at least contain him, this is a very pedestrian offense the Kansas City Chiefs have. So the key is containing Jamal Charles, and I think that with a couple weeks of footage and knowing how much he's the man, that the Colts will be able to put him in check, maybe hold him for 90, 100 yards, one touchdown. I like the Colts in this game, 23-20.
My only question in Denver at Houston is how many touchdowns does Manning throw for, and does this week, he's at 47, does he pass Brady? You know, I could see him getting up to 51. I sort of predicted he'd get 53 or 54 for the season a couple of weeks ago. You know, Denver could, you know, easily, without Welker, still win like 30 to 14 over the Texans. You think he passes Brady this week or he gets up
to
50?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he, or he ties Brady, let's say. He gets four, or three or four. So maybe he passes him, maybe he ties him. But I think this game is important, and next week is important too, because they want that extra week of rest for Wes Welker, because Wes Welker is out for the next 2 weeks. If you can get him a third week of rest, you can get him a month's rest. I think that's good. And so I think Denver's going to be pouring it on and making sure that they win. So in Houston, they've got quite a little, you know, set up there to put up a lot of points.
Yeah. So let's, before we get to Sunday night, let's talk about it. Brady and Belichick against Harbaugh and the Ravens, and let's give him his props, Justin Tucker, who's the Ravens' offense right now. This is a tall order, because you know what? I don't think – yeah, they beat the Lions, but the Patriots aren't the Lions. Patriots and Belichick do too much, and even without Gronk, they do what they need to do. The Ravens' defense has been amazing this season, the way they keep them in the game, and Ladarius Webb and Jimmy Smith, they could potentially lock down Amendola and my boy Julian Edelman. But I think the Patriots go into Baltimore, and I think they get one. I think they win 24-21 over the Ravens, and the Patriots, you know, crush the hopes of the Dolphins for the division, but the Dolphins stay alive for the wild card, and I like the Patriots winning and clinching.
Yeah, I like the same outcome. I think that this Baltimore team has been winning some close games. I don't think that kicking field goals is going to win against New England, especially given that they lost that way last week against Miami. I think Belichick's going to have them fired up. And the Baltimore offense is another offense that isn't a, you know, has become a 20-20 offense, right? And they just kick field goals, so they haven't been an explosive. Where is the
Ray
Rice 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Where is Torrey Smith?
Ray?
Dennis Pitta's back. You know, you expect these guys to score more. Joe Flacco's your $20 million man, and granted, he plays well in the clutch, and he doesn't really turn it over, but you need him to make plays because you're fighting for the playoffs. So I think that the New England Patriots have too much and they win this game.
So let's look at Sunday night. And just a quick note, Ray and Tay, you know, obviously we'll be on Monday, but we'll have a special Tuesday show to talk about the last Monday night game of the season. So stay tuned for that. You know, Twitter and Facebook will, you know, give you the update and the time. Quick little show, but Candlestick Park will be closing, and it is the last Monday night, you know, game of the season for Week 16, Falcons at Niners. So we will have a Tuesday show after the Monday night battle that is not that important, you know, and for the Falcons at least. So in wrapping it up, we'll still get to our fantasy for those who are listening live. Bears at Eagles. I actually, you know, I agree with you, but I think the Eagles will play hard, but I just think the Bears want this more. I've got Nick Foles in my fantasy championship, so I think he's going to do well, but I think you can score in this game, both teams. But I just think Jay Cutler, second week back, Forte, and the Eagles defense has been sort of, you know, pretty disappointing, and they haven't played great at home. I'll take the Bears in this game in a nice, nice win. To, you know, get the division 28-24 over the Eagles.
I like the Bears also. I told you, I think Cowboys will win. I think the Eagles will have less incentive to play hard, even though they're a tough team. They haven't played well, at least in the beginning of the season, at home. Philadelphia is a very weird team. They started off 0-4 at home. So I like the Bears in this game regardless, but definitely if the Cowboys win, I like the Bears.
So let's talk about it. Ray and Tay today, fantasy championship. congrats to Top Dogs, and Ray is hitting hard in our championship. That's my boy John Marchese against yours truly, Ray, Tall Rayside for Ray and Tate today. Tell me your lineup dilemmas.
All right.
Let me hear what you're thinking
about.
I'll
spit them out real quick. Lineup dilemmas at quarterback. Matthew Stafford against the Giants, or Ryan Tannehill at Buffalo, or the pickup I just made, Kirk Cousins at home against Dallas.
I might actually go with Kirk Cousins.
Is it crazy to ride Matthew Stafford all year and then go with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, Stafford and the Giants might even step up and just give you a decent game. I think Kirk Cousins will give you 315 or plus and three touchdown passes. I think he's playing to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and they're at home, and they're going to salvage something. Those players like Shanahan, and they want to play for our, you know, for Kirk Cousins. I would go with Kirk Cousins.
All right,
I'm
now,
to be honest.
Tight end. I got my man Charles Clay, who did nothing last week except catch the critical fourth down. It was his only catch, the fourth down play that led to the go-ahead score for Miami. But during the game, he had nothing.
Yeah.
Charles Clay against at Buffalo, or another pickup I just made, Ryan Griffin from Houston playing at home against Denver.
Yeah,
what could be a
shootout. Just listen, I'll give you a stat. The Bills are horrible against defending tight ends, and their secondary is not so great. So Clay might actually give you a good game, but you don't know the weather in Buffalo. And I'll tell you this, the Denver secondary and the Texans tight end will probably have a good game. Schaub is back. Schaub likes to throw to tight ends. So my surprise pick might be the Ryan Griffin kid.
All right, last one. Tennessee's defense at Jacksonville or Cleveland's defense at the New York Jets?
Jets will play good, but they'll run the ball. Geno will give you an interception, so you got to go with Cleveland's defense. And with special teams, Jets special teams has been inconsistent all season, so you might get a special teams touchdown. So maybe I would go with Cleveland. Jacksonville will probably play their hearts out, even though they don't, might not have Maurice Jones-Drew. The Jaguars could probably score. Tennessee's defense has not been so solid second half of the season. So, that's what I would go with. Hey, I'll just tell you real quick, man. I've got in my two championships. I'm going with guys like McCoy, Jamal Charles. I've got DeMarco Murray in another league. So I'm pushing to win. My quarterbacks, though, in terms of who I'm riding with, I got to go with I'm going with Nick Foles. I've got Foles, Manning, or Flacco, and I'm going to go with Nick Foles to win me the championship in one of my fantasy football leagues. So, hey, it's going to be fun. I hope you bring home the title, so to defend our names, Ray and Tate, today. And everybody check out, on our website and, rayandtatetoday.com. We're also doing the College Bowl picks straight, not the confidence, just the straight picks, if you want to see how your college picks are versus Ray and Tate today. And we have the last 2 weeks of the NFL Pigskin Pick'em. Four-year-old son, William Truth, is tied with the guy you're playing in the championship, my boy John Marchese's son, who's 12, with 112 wins, both of them. So you got to like that, beating out grown men, a 12-year-old and a 4-year-old tied for first place going into the last 2 weeks.
That's beautiful. That's what we would have done when we were kids. We would have been beating grown men if we had fantasy football back in the day.
Do you remember, let me ask you this, do you remember, and we used to both do this, I remember I used to wipe out the guys in the Friday's New York Post with the weekly picks against Phil Mushnick and all these different Gallo and all these guys in New York Post. I would make my picks every week, and some seasons I'd come in first place or in the top three, but they would have like 10 different people, so-called football experts, and every Friday's New York Post would make their picks, and I would make my picks versus spread since, 8, 9 years old, since I can remember. So it's great, man, and I'm starting off my son early. So it's fun. It's fun. So let me ask you this real quick before we go. Tonight, Brooklyn Nets at the Sixers. Are the Nets turning it around? Any other great matchups? Are you liking this Rocket-Pacers matchup?
I think the Nets are turning it around. Michael Carter Williams means a lot to the Sixers, as young and as new as he is to the league. I think they're not the same team without him. The Nets look like they're turning it around. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be one of those, three, four, five seeds eventually. So I like the Nets tonight. In terms of the other games, I want to see, you know, Phoenix-Denver. I want to see how this Phoenix team plays on the road, if they're for real.
Wait, I want to see your boys, Sacramento, the Knuckleheads, go to Miami to play the Heat. I got to see Macklemore.
They might even win that game just because.
Rudy Gay,
you know,
and Cousins against the Heat. Yo,
right,
that,
LeBron is
that
not
would
healthy,
be fun.
And if Wade, you know, coming off his 32-point game on Wednesday against
Kings
the Pacers.
Kings could pull the upset.
They might.
Hey,
they
just
might.
So you know, LeBron's jersey is number one in the NBA. And at number 15, topping off the rookies, Michael Carter Williams in jersey sales. How do you like that?
Good for him, you know. And it's not because he was the pretty boy coming out of college. It's because he's having a hell of a rookie season.
Yeah. That's it, man. That's it. So, great show. Thanks again to Ian Bagley for joining us. And, you know, hey, like always, we'll talk to you on Monday and we'll talk to you on Tuesday, Christmas Eve. Covering
Have
up
a great
Candlestick
sports
Park.
Weekend.
Definitely.
Enjoy sports. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your family. So this is
Ray
and Tay
today.
Talking sports with friends.
Sports with friends. Peace.